Four dogs gather at the feet of Martin Clunes.
Doc Martin, the character I played for 18 years, hated dogs. In real life, I like them so much I've got four.
Having a dog as your company works for me. Just watching them interact.
Everybody, sit, Penny. Penny? Jimmy's a bit tough to sit.
I kind of dig it when two species come together and share their ambitions. It's great.
Now, do you want to go out there?
Martin opens the back door.
Yeah? That was quite tame.
But that bond reaches a whole new level with guide dogs and their visually impaired owners. There are around 4,000 of those partnerships in the UK alone. I've applied to adopt a retiring guide dog called Laura. And in preparation, I've been getting to know her remarkable owner, Jaina.
Good to see you.
I'm Graham.
Good to see you very much.
Laura.
Laura.
This is Jaina's search for a new canine companion. But it's also my chance to discover the secret world of the guide dog.
What are you up to, girlo?
How they became such clever...
Pay attention, pal.
...reliable partners.
Please. And these are good for your soul.
And how they changed so many lives for the better.
Martin and Jaina stroll arm in arm down a country lane. Laura, a black Labrador Retriever cross, explores off-lead nearby. Title, A Dog Called Laura, with Martin Clunes, The Secret World of Guide Dogs.
I always thought I knew about guide dogs. Then something set me off down a road of discovery.
Last year I was listening to this program on the radio called Life Changing, and there was a young woman having lost her sight getting together with a guide dog. But now the guide dog was 11. And had to retire. So I just emailed the radio program and said, well, we could give that dog a nice retirement. One thing led to another. And, well, here we are.
Laura lies by a front door.
That young woman was Jaina Mistry and her dog, a black Labrador Retriever cross, called Laura.
To be the first one to say hello to everyone at the door?
Yeah, she does.
Every time.
At the age of 17, a rare allergic reaction to penicillin cost Jaina her sight.
Laurie, come.
After overcoming a fear of dogs, Jaina had her first trial walk with Laura.
Yeah, she's a bit shy today.
She's a bit shy. She's not normally shy.
I was a little bit nervous around her at first. I didn't know what to expect. And then we did a walk around the block. The route that I'd been doing with my cane for so long. And it just blew my mind. She flew around the block so quickly, avoided obstacles, and it's the most free I'd ever felt in my life.
With the freedom that Laura brought her, Jaina became the first blind woman in Britain to qualify as a fitness instructor. Together, Jaina and Laura have won many awards. But there comes a point when every aging guide dog must retire for their own health and welfare. When Laura retired 18 months ago, Jaina lost a lot of her freedom.
When your dog retires and you kind of go through a little phase of almost grieving for your independence because you've gotten so used to being able to go for a walk with your dog, and that all suddenly stops.
Martin knocks at Jaina's front door.
Hi, Jaina.
Hi, Martin.
Hello,
Laura.
She's
very excited to see you.
How are you? I'm coming in for
a
kiss.
Yes, come in.
Come in. Good. Oh, give me a kiss as well, Laura.
She's going to be a good girl.
Off lead, Laura explores a riverbank as Martin and Jaina stroll arm in arm.
Like hundreds of other Brits with sight loss, Jaina is on a waiting list for a new guide dog. A wait that's been made longer by COVID delays. In the meantime, Laura still needs her walks. But ultimately, Jaina won't be able to manage both dogs at once.
Has your relationship with her changed since she stopped working?
I think it's grown stronger.
Has it? More of a friendship?
I believe so, yeah.
Really?
We've grown much, much closer.
We're all not talking about the moment where you have to say, when you have to leave her with us, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's going to be, really difficult.
Oh, yeah. Because the bond is so strong that we have. With Laura being my first dog, she'll always be my number one.
A sepia-toned photo shows four men in suits, each with a walking cane and a dog.
In 1931, Britain's first ever guide dogs, Flash, Folly, Meta and Judy, were trialled by four blind World War I veterans. Within a few years, this quirky experiment had grown into Britain's best-loved charity, Guide Dogs for the Blind. Today, the charity has a finely tuned system designed to produce the best possible results.
Martin!
Hello, Caroline.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, thank you.
Come and meet Georgie and the puppies.
Oh boy.
And it all begins at birth. This litter of nine pups was produced just a week ago by Georgie, another Labrador Retriever cross.
Don't get up, sweetheart. Oh look, they were all having a drink. Hi. Hello, sweetheart. Look. They're not like this for long, are they?
No, not too long.
When do their eyes open?
Oh, their eyes will probably open in another week.
Right.
Tim Bloomfield is a breeding dog advisor, also known as a puppy midwife.
Oh, don't they smell nice?
New puppy smell, Martin.
Mmm.
He makes sure the first few weeks go smoothly.
So how many of these are you dealing with? A week, how many, they're popping litters out all the time?
They are, Martin, yeah. Each of our supervisors have probably got five or six litters on the go each, at any one time. It's enough to keep your hands full.
Yeah, but what a nice gig.
It is a lovely job, it is a lovely job. There's definitely worse jobs, Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
Volunteer Caroline Clifton keeps both the brood mum and the pups in her house so they're familiarised with the home environment.
My son Harry and I, we helped to deliver all these puppies, and it was incredible
experience. Magical, isn't it?
Very magical.
Oh, good luck, little guide dog.
Actually, wow, yeah, if you think of all the lives that could be changed right here.
With a helping hand from me, each pup must be given the once-over.
Hey, pop it.
To make sure their health is good.
We could pop him on there. Nearly 800 grams.
Their tiny nails are clipped so they don't scratch their mother.
See those little white tips there?
Yeah.
So I'm just literally going to take the ends off.
There he is. There's your little dingbat.
That's good.
A 550 gram puppy.
Oh, she's a bit lighter.
She's the last born.
Is she?
Yeah, last born. I called her Hope because she just didn't breathe for, it felt like minutes. And I was really rubbing her,
really?
Georgie was licking her, and then suddenly she just started
you got
squealing.
Her going.
And she's just such a little feisty girl, a real fighter. So she's my favourite.
They're all their bellies are full. I'm going to sleep that off.
That's it.
They'll spend 8 weeks together as a litter before they're rehomed for the next stage.
It must be so nice being part of a litter, don't you think?
Yeah.
When you're warm and furry yourself.
Just cuddle
sort of
up.
Cuddle up, nuzzle in, roll around. I should have been a dog.
What dog would you have been?
One of those, I think.
The puppies snuggle together on a paw print blanket. One pokes out its tiny pink tongue. Mist rises from a bottle green river.
On an icy day in Leamington Spa, the charity has lined up some newly trained dogs for Jaina to try out.
Right, you ready? Feel okay?
We are ready.
Yeah.
Okay, when we're ready.
The first is a 21-month-old Labrador called Pat.
We just used.
With her trainer, Nicola.
Forward.
That's it, and then good girl.
Good girl.
So she goes, that's lovely. Then she moves back into the right, just around a tree, to have a little shake.
Good girl.
Yay.
Okay.
With shakes, do you just let the dog have a shake?
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a anxiety release. So that's what we want them to do. It's like shake it off. I feel a little bit anxious, but I'll shake things off. And we'll get her to find a pelican crossing for you as well.
Right, and the butter.
All right, so when you're ready.
Right. That's good lovely. Girl.
And she's off. You'll feel.
This is hard work for Jaina. Not only assessing Pat's suitability,
button.
But also learning more up-to-date training methods than she's used to.
Jaina gives Pat a treat at the crossing.
So what they're doing is the treat comes from the thing you want the dog to find.
Oh.
And that's where the dog thinks it comes from.
That's me trying
to give that impression. It's good.
Good girl.
Next challenge, to find a post box.
Post.
Post.
Pat snuffles at a pillar box, then peers up at Jaina.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's lovely.
Yep.
I'm really giving
well
her a fuss.
Done.
And that's a word cue you're using.
Yes.
But
we teach the behaviour without the cue first.
So you get a response and then attach a word to the response.
Yes. And that's what we say. That will the dog do the behaviour? If you would risk £100, because you're so certain the dog will do it, then attach that word to what you're.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
That's what we say.
The second dog's another black lab, 19-month-old Ken.
He's got a bigger head.
He has, and he's a bit stronger.
Nice and ready and forward.
Forward.
Getting the right pace is crucial.
That's good. So he might be a little bit quicker.
Dog number three is Kath, a 22-month-old lab retriever cross.
Oh, wow, look at you.
She likes you. Hello, sweetie. Hello, sweetie.
Gosh. Oh, yeah, she does feel quite different.
Hello, new looking blade. New looking my face.
You can slide your right foot back.
Kath's trainer is Emma.
You can give her the forward.
Forward.
Good girl. Or can you say good girl?
Good girl.
That's it. How's that feeling?
Yeah, good pace.
Yeah.
Martin follows at a distance.
Okay, we're now back at the van, so you can just ask her to stand.
Stand.
Good.
How was Kath doing?
She was lovely, actually. She reminds me of Laura.
She
reminds me of Laura.
Stop saying that. So different to Ken and Pat?
I would say so. Like, she's much longer in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Her walk pace is different. Just something felt different, like more relaxed with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very much so.
Hey, how about that? Are you very, very clever?
Okay,
lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Right. Next.
There are two more dogs for Jaina to try. Sally, a 22-month-old Golden Retriever Labrador cross.
Lovely. Good girl.
Good girl, Sally.
Yeah, she was a little quicker than Kath.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And a 17-month-old yellow lab called Mr. Darcy.
Forward.
Good boy.
Martin talks to camera.
She must be exhausted. I can't imagine what it is to sort of mentally hand yourself over to this animal with so much at stake, because it means so much to her, her independence.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's going to get a dog. That's the happy ending. It's win-win. Just which one?
How was that? That was a bit F1 coming down there, wasn't it?
He was taking me for a walk. He was quite quick, yes.
Was he? Doesn't make him a bad dog, though, does it? It's all about being the right dog.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. He's might not be the right dog for you, but I'm sure there'll be a client out there that will be the right match for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, a brilliant day. Good experience for me.
Brilliant day. Yeah. And potentially a new dog.
Fingers and paws crossed.
Fingers and paws crossed. That's brilliant.
Blind fitness guru Jaina Mistry has been waiting nearly 2 years for a new guide dog. When her first dog, Laura, retired, aged 11, Jaina lost much of her independence.
Here we go. She's here.
Exciting.
Now, at last, it seems she may have found a good match.
Hi, Emma. Hello.
Trainer Emma has brought Kath for a trial home visit. At 22 months, Kath has far more energy than elderly Laura.
Good girl.
Oh, what's it like, Jaina?
Oh,
two dogs.
It's lovely having both. They're very lovely together.
Sadly, Jaina just can't meet the different needs of both dogs at once.
For me, it was a personal decision to have to rehome Laura because I just didn't think it would be fair.
No, and I think that's it. It's, you know, you're doing it for the right reasons, aren't you, when they go to someone else. It's because you know that they deserve that retirement.
She really deserves it. She's been an amazing guide dog for me, just truly remarkable. And you're going to the best home. If only Martin could adopt me too.
Claridge's for dogs.
Yeah. You're going to have a wonderful time.
If the training with Kath goes well, Jaina will have no option but to hand Laura over to me.
Good girl.
Wow.
A complex of interconnected buildings nestling in countryside.
But first, at the charity's National Centre in Leamington Spa, I want to learn exactly what goes into making a good guide dog.
A woman leads Martin into a breeding lab.
So in here, we have a team of reproduction technicians who help us produce some really happy and healthy puppies.
Hello.
Hiya.
Of all the puppies trained by the charity, only around 60% go on to qualify as guide dogs. To improve that rate, the science team analysed dog DNA for clues to their success. Though, as Dr. Helen Whiteside explains, there's actually a complex mixture of factors involved.
So with our dogs here at the breeding programme, what we want to do is produce dogs with the best possible potential of being a guide dog, and that's linked to the genes that they inherit from mum and dad. And then actually as well, training. So that mixed together is what you get at the end with that wonderful guide dog.
Right.
And then actually there's another layer. So there's the person and the dog and how we match those together. So right dog, right time, right place. And there is a whole bunch of science that sits underneath all of that.
So with all this science, will there come a time when you can say, here on the slide, that's what's causing anxiety in a dog?
In certain health conditions, we absolutely do have DNA tests. In terms of behaviour, it is a lot more complicated because that nature versus nurture is very complex. But here at Guide Dogs, we're hoping to really understand what is it that's inherited, so what is it from their genes, but then what is it that is learnt in their environment. But for us, it's really important that we share the findings that we have with the rest of dogdom for the benefit of dogs everywhere.
Ah, right. Yeah. Yeah, and then at the end of the day, you go, you're a very good dog.
Yes.
Which is all any of us wants to say, isn't it?
They're all good dogs.
A black puppy nuzzles the camera.
As well as studying puppy genetics, the science team conducts behaviour tests to find out exactly how puppy intelligence develops. Becky Hunt, one of the team's researchers, is bringing in a lively, inquisitive Pat.
Oh, hello, Pat.
Because we're all kind of in here and it's a bit new for him.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello. Hello, sweetie.
How old is Pat?
He's about 7.5, nearly 8 weeks.
Don't you think puppy's breath smells of leeks, raw leeks?
Leeks? I mean, I'd never thought that, but...
every puppy's breath smells of raw leeks.
So we're going to look at the puppy...
It's important to know how well Pat responds to humans.
...tasks that we put in front of... Puppy! Pup! Good boy. Look. Good boy. Okay. So now I will say the phrase that we did. Hi, pup. Are you a good puppy? Yes, you are. Look how cute you are. With those big eyes and floppy ears. You're such a cute puppy. So essentially, we're interested in how
but
they...
But he did respond to that, to your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Oh, Pat. Oh, Pat. Pat. You're such a nice little puppy! You're so
Pat
lovely.
Scrabbles, tail wagging, Pat. As Martin kneels on the floor.
Next, we check his sense of smell.
Pay attention, Pat. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And how keen he is to find a treat.
Straight to the kibble.
He's a clever one.
So that's smell.
Yeah, so we're looking at his smell, because they look the same to him, they are the same. One's just got food in and one hasn't.
Finally, a brain teaser for Pat to solve.
That we put in front of them. Puppy, look. Okay.
First, he's shown a treat.
Good boy. There we go, good lad. So then if we just do it again, but don't let him go until I say okay. Puppy, look. Okay.
Pat paws at the transparent container.
Oh, Pat, you really let yourself down there, lad.
Pat sniffs his way around to the opening and eats the treat.
Oh.
He's worked it out.
There you go.
So this is actually really good because he's worked it out himself. For them to be able to work out a problem like that is great.
He's a genius. You're a genius.
Normally, it takes probably 4 or 5 times to get it.
Becky repeats the test.
Okay.
Oh, come on, he smashed it.
So, you know, he's got it.
This will go on Pat's report card, how he's done with this test.
Yes, essentially, because they're still so young, we're going to follow these puppies through till they get their end result, probably around 18 months, 2 years of age.
Sure.
And we're going to see if there are any links then between the behaviours they show here and if they make it as a guide dog.
I've got every confidence in Pat.
Puppies are placed amid a variety of objects.
There's one more vital experience for the puppies while they're still together as a litter, exploring the world around them.
They just get to experience lots of different things to develop their socialisation.
Right.
As you can see, they love it.
This group play is hugely beneficial not only to the puppies.
Oh, everything's great.
But also to the volunteers, like Harriet Pierce, who helped make it happen.
I used to be a maths teacher, actually, quite locally, a secondary maths teacher, which I loved. Then I got quite poorly and very stressed, and I had to reassess what my priorities were
right.
And get myself better. And one of the things was, I'm going to volunteer guide dogs because I love dogs and I love helping people. So that's exactly what I've been doing, like getting more and more involved, which is great. It's been a bit of a journey, but...
But a healing one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. A healing one, and it's ended up in an excellent place where I get to see these lovely puppies.
And these are good for your soul, aren't they?
And they're all starting fools. To go get a bit sleepy, look.
Yeah, they are. This one is.
We're going to have a pile of puppies in a minute.
The puppies climb over Martin.
At 8 weeks, the puppies are individually rehomed with volunteer families all over Britain. I've travelled to South Wales to meet one of those families, known as puppy raisers. Cliff and Carrie Vanston and their daughters Sienna, Aria and Isla have looked after Hobson since he was 8 weeks old.
Labrador retriever cross Hobson races through a meadow.
Now a strapping 9 months, he's learnt to deal with many of the things that life might throw at him.
Is there like a manual of the things you have to...
So we have like training guidelines, for sure, right the way through from even the toilet training to things like getting them to chin rest for examinations and things like that. So that they can have their eyes checked, their ears checked, all those sorts of things.
And just living with a family must be...
He's very resilient, shall we say. He's brilliant with trains, buses, tractors, loud spaces. And with the children as well, they play with him a lot and... You know, sometimes climb on him and things like that. They're just naturally, Morley.
Like all puppy raisers, the family get to keep Hobson for about a year. Then he'll be rehoused with fosterers while he goes to daily training classes for a guide dog career.
Can you tell me what's the best thing about having Hobson in your house?
What's the best thing about having Hobson, Aria?
Why is that quick to bring up?
Because he's so soft.
He's so soft.
I want to keep him.
You want to keep him?
Yes.
But we know we can't keep him, don't we? Because Hobbs is going to go off to help somebody else, isn't he?
The Vanstons were inspired to become puppy raisers because Aria was born blind. She's too young to have her own guide dog, but could soon qualify for a child's equivalent.
One of the things that we've since learnt from our experience with Aria is that from the age of 4, you can apply for a buddy dog. And that's where dogs haven't been successful in their training to become a fully-fledged guide dog. They can be repurposed for companion dogs.
He kissed me on the hand.
He kissed you on the hand?
Yeah.
That's because he loves you. Just seeing the reward it brings to Aria, given that she has a sight loss, it's been something that I can well imagine we'll always have a dog.
How about that, Aria? Buddy dog, your own. Just specially for you. Would that be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've loved having Hobson. I've loved the raising part of it.
I think that inevitably I'll be sad when he goes.
Of course I will. I'm not kidding myself. I think we call it Kleenex Day, the day that the dogs go, because it's, you know, it's tears. But I think the tears come a lot from feeling...
It's Andrex with Labradors, isn't it?
Oh, they are.
Volunteer puppy raisers like the Vanstons currently house around 1,200 puppies nationwide. That's an improvement after the pandemic lull, but more puppy raisers are always needed.
Kath stops short of a curb. Jaina gives her a treat.
Meanwhile, with the help of trainer Emma, Jaina's making good progress with her new guide dog, Kath.
Straight on.
Good girl.
Which means the time has finally come to say goodbye to Laura.
Good girl.
At the secret world of guide dogs, Martin strolls through the grounds of a multi-winged farmhouse. He waits on a cobblestone driveway as a blue car pulls up.
It's early April in Dorset, and I'm about to welcome a new member into the Clunes household.
Hi, 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 hi. Laura!
Martin opens a rear door.
Hello, Laura. I'm sorry, I'm greeting the dog first. How rude.
Now that fitness expert Jaina Mistry has a new guide dog, she can no longer look after her old guide dog, Laura.
She's a bit unsure, I think.
It was nearly a year. Ah, that's it!
So Jaina and her mum, Hansa, have brought Laura to live out her final days on our farm.
Now you remember.
Laura leaps out of the car. Martin's other dogs cluster round.
Three of my dogs seem happy to see Laura. The one who's not so sure is a very rude jackawawa called Penelope Jennifer.
Penny, language. Oh, dear. Dear Penny, you better get over it. You get over yourself.
She's got a new friend now.
Hello, baby. No, Penny, what's your language? The gin show in Laura's ball.
Oh, toys.
That's tiny. Laura's your new friend.
Laura takes it all in her stride.
She's really livened up. She's been rather quiet, actually, the drive up. And so it's nice to see her happy like this, yeah.
Well, she'll be knowing how you're feeling, won't she? How are you feeling?
Oh, gosh. I think the lead-up to Laura coming here has been quite emotional, like, difficult, quite tough. Just accepting the fact that I have to let go now. After 10.5 years, it's a long time. But I know she'll be very happy here. I notice you don't have collars on your dogs, Martin. Is that something? Is there a reason for that?
Because we don't need them. We have the kind of leads that slip over their heads.
Oh, those are safer for them, aren't they?
We may let Laura go naked.
Oh, that would be quite strange because she's always had a collar on.
Oh, she'll Laura, be very what naked. About that? Topless.
Oh my God.
She'd run after you for a collar.
She would
have put it back on me.
She'll have something to say about it.
Oh, yeah.
After handing over all of Laura's accessories.
This is her bowl.
Oh, right. We were going to dig out one of Arthur's, but yes, of course, her bowl. Yes.
This is her bone.
That's her bone.
And this we like to call her spaceship.
Yes.
And we put her kibble in there and she likes to knock that around.
Just brush between these two bushes.
The moment finally arrives for Jaina to bid Laura farewell.
Sit. Yous.
Oh, here.
Hey, Laurie, sit. Laurie? We've had the best 10.5 years together, haven't we? The most awesome, awesome partnership. You've really enriched my life in so many ways. You've helped to rebuild my health. My confidence, my independence. You'll always be my number one, my special little girl. The remarkable guide dog who changed my life forever.
Jaina kisses, then cuddles Laura.
You'll be happy. She'll be happy. Come here. Get mommy cuddles. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be happier. Special girl.
Laura trundles away over a patch of grass. With Kath on harness, Jaina approaches a gym.
Back home in Leicester, Jaina's now walking solo with Kath as they practice the important routes around her neighbourhood.
It's like any new partnership. Even with Laura, we had challenges along the way, which we've had to work together to get through. Kath particularly likes to go up people's driveways. I think that was the main distraction. Step by step, our bond is getting stronger. My confidence is growing with her. And it just feels like I have my life back now.
As well as helping Jaina qualify as a health and fitness expert,
up to the door.
Having a guide dog has meant she can travel twice a week.
How are you both?
Good.
To Lewis Bradford's gym.
Lewis brandishes a pair of punch mitts. Wearing boxing gloves, Jaina performs a sequence of left-right punches.
So I've been training you since 2016, right?
2015. I'm a very different person now to what I was 8 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Personal training is about the mental side as much as the physical. That it's not just about pushing yourself in the gym, it's about mindset outside the gym as well.
Laura's retirement was a real blow to Jaina's fitness regime. But with Kath, she's getting right back on track.
Having a dog in general, just for the general clientele, is very positive. It gets them walking, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've noticed a difference since you've transitioned between Laura and Kath. Your activity levels have gone, they've shot back up again, haven't they?
I'd really missed up 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's enabled me to do that. Like, without a guide dog, my quality of life would be so different.
Trainer Nicola entices a dog from a van.
Good lad. Good. Well done. Good boy.
Back at the guide dog charity in Leamington Spa.
Do you want to head in?
Good lad.
Yeah, good boy.
I'm finding out what it feels like to trust a canine with your sight. They tell me rookie guide dog Elmo is the right kind of size and pace for me.
When you're ready, a nice forward.
Forward.
That's good. Go with him. You feel him guiding towards the left and then he guides towards the right.
Yep.
Trainer Nicola Brown is teaching me the subtleties of harness control.
It's enough for when the dog's guiding to the left. You have to lengthen your stride a little bit to go with him. That's good. And then we shorten our stride a little bit as the dog comes to the right.
Yeah.
And at this point, we can tell him, that's good, go with him, tell him chair.
Chair.
Come up on his shoulder, find his head, and go down below, and that's your yep point.
Martin's wearing a blindfold.
And then the treat. That's brilliant.
So how does it feel?
It's funny, even though I'd been stood looking, you know, and I knew down there, the minute I set off, I lost all, you know. Yeah. It's very disorientating.
And it's one of the key things, knowing where you are on a route, because dogs, you can't just say, well, I'm going to the shop and the dog find the way there. You've got to have some kind of orientation points along there and things for the dog to find and locate to be motivated. So it's more complicated than people think.
Yeah.
Forward.
After several practice runs, Nicola cuts us loose to find our own way.
Stop there. Just a little bit close to the hedge line. And just tell him chair.
Chair.
And up onto his shoulder.
Yep.
Good, brilliant. You just followed your cameraman slightly into the hedge. Can we do that again?
Good lad.
And then just tell him chair.
Good lad. Chair.
A few more attempts and I might actually be getting the hang of this.
Yep.
Fabulous. How did that feel?
Good. Yeah, great.
A little actually bit further, great. You got that left right.
A little bit
weaver,
further, but he was, I was feeling it all through the handle and the harness, yeah. And it was nice and steady.
So how does it feel now in comparison to earlier when you first started off?
Yeah, I felt my sort of stride was more fluent rather than, you know, hesitant and disorientated and just kind of reading through the angle of the handle.
One thing I'm learning from all this is that every dog is unique. Obvious, really, just like every person. In busy West London, I'm meeting David Isaac, whose dog Scooby guided him out of a bleak time in his life. David now runs an access program at Hammersmith Council. But not so long ago, he thought losing his sight meant he'd never work again.
I lost my sight about 10 years ago from diabetes. So I didn't look after my sugars at the time. I was told that I'd have 2 to 5 years of sight left, and it was about 2 years before I lost my sight.
And what was your journey to Scooby from your diagnosis?
I was a very social person before I lost my sight. And then once I lost my sight, I kind of withdrew. I didn't take it very well. I kind of cut off from everybody, from my family, my friends, everybody. I went into a really dark place. As I started to learn with the long cane, you could be out and you'd hear people, careful, there's a blind man, move out the way. And they'd part like the Red Sea. And the only time they'd talk to you is to say, careful, you're going to walk into something. And it was just horrible. But things changed with him. I can't go anywhere now without 15, 20 people coming up to me and telling me how beautiful he is, how lovely he is. It's a huge conversation starter. And really, I credit him for giving me back that social interaction that blindness took away from me.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that incredible?
It really is. And it's allowed me to become me again. I've had dogs all my life. The bond I have with him is completely different. I put my trust in him so that he keeps me safe, and he puts his trust in me to keep him safe. There is no alpha and beta. We share that responsibility.
I've got 5 dogs now with Laura, but yes, that's interesting. I'll never have that. I'll never have that. A bit jealous.
A camera affixed to Kath's harness shows a dog's eye view of Lester.
As Jaina Mistry gets up and running with her new guide dog, Kath, I'm investigating the different experiences other owners have had.
2 men, linked at the wrists, jog behind a dog.
Few people are more inspiring than Liverpudlian Craig Lundberg, the man on the right.
Craig dons a blindfold beside a goal.
As a blind athlete, he's run marathons, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, cycled the length of Britain on a tandem, and he plays blind football for the England team. And though his dog Comet often waits on the sidelines,
play, don't you? You want to play with him.
After Craig lost his sight, having a guide dog helped him regain his confidence as a sportsman.
He's desperate to get in amongst
it. We've got a blindfold for Commie.
Presumably he'd just mess everything up, wouldn't
yes.
he? Yeah. Can you explain about the blindfold?
Yeah, so in blind football, sort of Paralympic sport, everyone has to wear a blindfold and patches to make it even, because obviously certain people have got different levels of sight loss.
Yeah.
Me, I'm totally blind. My eyes are prosthetic. But to make it fair for everybody, everyone has to wear a blindfold.
You're really accurate with that ball. I know every time you kicked it, you put it where you wanted it, and every time it was kicked to you, you got straight to it.
Yeah, it's listening. As you can hear, the ball's got a rattling. A lot of it is communication and sound and sort of getting a mental image of your surroundings and what's around you.
Amazing. Is it good fun?
I'm biased. I think it's the best blind sport.
As a 21-year-old soldier in Iraq, Craig was hit by 2 rocket grenades that nearly killed him.
I had a broken jaw, lost loads of teeth, had a fractured cheek, a broken nose, had flash burns up the side of my face, but my eyes took most of it. So, yeah, just total darkness. And it'll be, you know, another 5 years I would have lived my life blind just as much as I would have lived sighted, which is a bit of a mad thought.
Wow.
Though Craig struggled to begin with, it was getting his first guide dog, Hugo, that inspired him to rebuild his life.
Just had this instant bond of trust and just needed that nudge in the right direction. I've done a lot of things in the mountains and a lot of cool adventurous stuff. So he'd just follow me everywhere and he'd just be like, yeah, Dad, I trust you completely. Loved him that much. Even my first child, his middle name is Hugo.
Oh, really?
So we probably loved him. And being a scouser and having a designer dog, Hugo, do you know what I mean? Scousers love Hugo Boss, don't they? So it was like, it was ideal. I was like, oh, there you go, give me a little Hugo Boss dog.
At the age of 11, Hugo made it to a happy retirement. And now, Comet is Craig's companion and number one fan.
Sun infuses a morning mist.
It's now high summer, and there's just one encounter left. Jaina and her new guide dog, Kath, are heading one more time to Dorset.
We're on our way to visit Laura. I haven't seen her for 2 months, so I'm really excited to hear about how she's been getting on. And really curious to see how she reacts when she sees me. I think I have an idea, but we'll see when we get there.
Kath and Laura sniff each other's bottoms as Martin greets Laura and Hansa.
Hello, Jane.
How are you? Good to see you again.
Oh, lovely to see you. Oh, Laura, who's this?
They've got to say hi to each other first, yeah. Haven't you? Hey, you. Do you not remember me then?
Yeah, I know. I'm grateful.
She's besties with Kath, aren't you?
Hello. Ah, now you get
you
some attention.
Me now.
Oh, now she's rumbled.
I've missed you. How has she been doing?
She's been doing fine.
I'm just so happy to see her. Yes. I really am. She's just the same.
Awkwardly, just before Jaina's arrival, Laura proved her new country credentials by rolling in badger poo.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She wants to give you a kiss.
Oh, yeah. It's a toss-up between the badger poo and the breath. You might almost imagine there'd be a rivalry between them, but no way. She's just too she's too nice. Friendly.
Hello.
Hello.
Look at these
girls.
Perhaps because Laura's paved the way, Kath proves to be an instant hit.
The rest of Martin's dogs sniff Kath's bottom.
Oh, Penny likes Kath.
There's no calling.
Should we all stop doing that on national television? Oh, everybody.
But what all my dogs love most is a walk in the garden.
Do you want to go out there? Here we go.
All six dogs race out into Martin's garden. Martin strolls with Jaina.
Oh, wow, how fun. Is this how it is every day for you, like when they want to go out?
Oh, and... yeah. All I have to say is, do you want to go out there? And then everybody starts barking.
Oh, coming back today, I just feel real peace of mind seeing how she's been getting on and how she's really settled into country life and doing things I wouldn't expect her to do.
Oh, what, the badger?
The badger thing.
Yes, the badger thing. Well...
So that says to me she's really settled.
Yeah, no, she is. She's definitely enjoying it.
This is the perfect home for her, and just thank you so much for taking good care of her for me.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me have her. She's a great addition. And when Kath needs to retire, you know where we are.
Can you wait another 10 years?
Yeah, I'll be 70, God knows what, but yeah.
Jaina ruffles Laura's black fur.
I have missed you. When the time came to rehome Laura, it was really heartbreaking letting her go. But now coming to visit her, I can see she's very happy. And that's what I've wanted for her all her life, to have the best retirement.
Come here.
And Kath, she's an absolute superstar just like Laura. And I'm very excited for the future that we have together. So anyone who's considering applying for a guide dog, I would say absolutely do that. Your dog is more than just a working dog. They become your best friends and they change your life in so many ways. They really do.
Now, we've been living with Laura 2 or 3 months and couldn't be happier to have her. And to see her running and running and running. She did give an awful lot throughout her life, you know. And to just see her get some payback here and just feels nice, you know. But also, what I've learned about the guide dogs, which I thought I knew, which I thought we all knew, you know, is just fascinating. And you just have to salute them for everything that everybody there does.
A collar-free Laura explores